the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord says in the Gospel lesson, "Do you think that the Galileans, those whose blood Pilate mingled with the sacrifices, were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you think the 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed, that they were worse sinners than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will all likewise perish." And St. Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you. It's not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape that you may endure it." And our Lord Jesus came as a man in a vineyard looking for fruit on his fig tree. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are right in the middle of the 40 days of Lent. 40 days of a penitent time in which we redirect our lives and spiritually discipline our lives for repentance and focusing our lives on Christ. And today, as we look at the gospel lesson, there's just three things we want to focus on during the season of Lent: repentance, faith, and bearing good fruit. And we're going to talk about this in the context of the world's disasters that have always befallen man, and in the midst of the world's disasters, how we have repentance and faith, and we bear good fruit. Now, there are disasters in our own personal lives, and there are disasters in our country and world. You may be struggling with your own personal disasters. You've lost your job. You're having problems in your marriage. There's something that really bothers you, and you have a guilty conscience. Perhaps you are really angry at somebody, and it has not been resolved. Or you're so distressed by world conditions, you feel helpless. Disasters also befall the society around us. We're not the first group of people to experience towers coming down. In Jesus' day, the Tower of Siloam fell, collapsed, and killed 18 people. In 2001, the Twin Towers collapsed and killed thousands of people. Disasters throughout history: earthquakes in Haiti and Chile, tornadoes in Oklahoma, hurricanes in the coast, volcanoes, tsunamis. The world has always been filled with disasters that happen in the world and in society. There was another disaster when apparently Pilate killed Galileans as they were going up to the altar of sacrifice so that their own blood was mixed with their sacrifices. A horrendous thing. The world is filled with disasters like the one that befell Israel when they rebelled in the desert and 23,000 people died in one day. And later on, serpents killed people in their rebellion. There are disasters going on around us in the world, and there's our own spiritual and personal disasters in our own life. And Jesus comes in the midst of these and says, "I'm going to untangle things for you through repentance and faith and bearing good fruit." Our lives are often like a rope that's full of knots. I have a sailboat out on Lake Thunderbird, and when it's really, really windy and the sails get away from me and the ropes flail in the wind, the ropes get filled with knots. I have to wait till the wind calms down, hold the rope still, and one at a time, take one knot at a time out of the rope. Our lives are sometimes like that. They spin out of control. We are flailing around in the wind, and everything in our life gets all knotted up. And God says, "Be still, be calm, let's sit down and let me take each knot out one at a time." During Lent, let Jesus take the knots, if you will, out of the rope of your life. May He give you spiritual direction during this year through repentance, through faith, through bearing good fruit. So let's first of all consider repentance. I tell you, Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will likewise perish. I tell you, Jesus is the Son of God, but is true man and shares our flesh and blood. He knows all about caring about our flesh and blood in a world full of disasters. From personal experience, he knows. He says, unless you repent, you likewise will perish. St. Paul said, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We all must daily take care of our spiritual lives so we do not perish on judgment day. That last coming judgment is what Jesus is referring to when he says people who will not repent will perish on that last day. You know, when the law of God comes, and the hymn that we just sang teaches us the distinction between law and gospel. In the Old Testament lesson today, when you hear the severe law of Ezekiel, when he says that those who are wicked must turn from their ways, their transgressions and sins, and if they do, they will be forgiven. But if the righteous falls into wickedness and will not repent, he will not be forgiven. This is stern law saying to us, because we still have our old Adam and our sinful nature, every day you must repent, have faith in Christ, and be transformed by Christ's love. What is repentance? Repentance means to turn away from sin, to admit it, to confess it, and to have true contrition and sorrow for sin. Repentance is not being sad because I got caught. Repentance is being truly sorry. The terror of conscience, the pangs of conscience, that desperation when we know I've sinned against God and I've sinned grievously against my brother. I deserve eternal punishment in hell's fiery furnace. When you sense that and then you understand, I must repent. I am sorry. I regret my sin. That is true repentance. The Lord Jesus calls us to cling to righteousness of Christ then as our righteousness, so that we can live and do that which is just and right and walk in the statutes of light. For the way of the Lord is just and right, and he will judge everyone according to his ways on the last day. And so we must be found in the righteousness of Christ with repentance and faith and the fruit of good works. You know, we do this every week. Publicly, at the beginning of the service, we all confessed our sins and heard the word of absolution. You can come privately in confidence to me as your pastor and kneel in my office and confess those things that are really bothering you and hear the sweet words of absolution. We must repent every day of sins of thought, word, and deed, because we still have that ball and chain that we drag around with us, our old Adam. One of the knots that the Lord removes in our life, he removes that knot through daily repentance. Secondly, the Lord Jesus calls us to have faith. It's not sufficient to repent and be sorry for your sins, else you don't understand forgiveness. What comes next is faith. And not faith in just anything, but faith in Jesus Christ. Faith. The man, God the Father, who sends the person of his son into the vineyard, is pictured in this parable of a vineyard, which was Israel, and today is the new Israel of the church. God owns the vineyard. In the middle of it, he plants a fig tree, which is the church, the new Israel of his believers, Jew and Gentile, who believe in Jesus Christ. And the vine dresser is Jesus. And the vine dresser is coming into the vineyard of the church to look for fruit on the fig tree. When faith is planted in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit, for faith comes from hearing, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. The reason why you have faith is somebody brought you the gospel. It could have been your father or mother, your grandparents, the next door neighbor lady who took you to vacation Bible school, your pastor that confirmed or baptized you, some person God brought into your life. And through that person, you heard the word of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit did a wonderful thing in you. The Holy Spirit created faith, for faith comes from hearing the word of God. But the object of our faith is Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised. The reason we are justified in the presence of God by the blood of Christ and declared innocent in God's courtroom is because the object of our faith is Jesus. It's not enough just to be told, have faith, everything will work out. Did you know the object of your faith is more important than your faith? You can have faith in that lectern there that it's going to save you. But that lectern's not going to save you, no matter how strong your faith is in that lectern. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, sometimes your faith is weak, sometimes your faith is strong. But either way, because Jesus is the object of your faith, He will save you. He is trustworthy. You can believe His promises. That's what Paul said when he said that even in the Old Testament, when they were wandering in the wilderness, they ate spiritual food and they drank the water from the rock that was Christ. We have that same spiritual food and drink. We have been baptized, if you will, in the cloud and the sea of water and word in holy baptism. We stand strong on the rock of God's word, and in Christ we have righteousness because He was sacrificed for us and was raised again. And we have spiritual drink as we are baptized, and spiritual food each and every time we receive Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. You can have faith in Christ, the object of your faith. You can trust Him now. And that's another way God takes some of those knots out of our lives. And the last thing our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do is to bear fruit. The story continues. When God the Father sends His vine dresser into the vineyard, He looks at a fig tree that's been there for 3 years and He says, "This has been here 3 years and there's no fruit on it. Cut it down." Here God is looking into the world and seeing people who claim to be Christians, but they're a dead tree. There's no works. There's no evidence that they're a Christian at all. And God in His justice says, cut it down. Judgment upon this person. But our intercessor, Jesus, the vine dresser, speaks up for you and me. He says, "Father, give it one more year. And let's dig around it. Let's put some manure there and fertilize it in the hopes that in one more year it will bear fruit well and good. Then, if it doesn't, then you can cut it down." Jesus is picturing the time in which we are living. We are living in that one more year as we await judgment day. The Lord gives us one more year, all the time from now till when Jesus returns, that the roots of our lives will be watered and fertilized by word and sacrament so that we can bear fruit, with the warning that those who will not believe, those who will not repent and bear no fruit will be cut down on the last day. But through Christ Jesus, we are bearing fruit. We have become good trees because Christ has made us good trees. We are like a fig tree that's bearing good fruit, a real living faith that gives evidence in the works of faith. Good works that the Holy Spirit enables us to strive for holy living. And the fruit of faith are the simple things. Loving God and serving my neighbor, bearing fruit, coming to hear God's word and receive His sacrament, reading and studying His holy word, and being fervent in prayer, loving God with all of our hearts, and loving our neighbor in the simple things, a word of kindness, an act, a deed that shows mercy toward your neighbor, whatever that might be, are the fruits of faith. And God expects us to be trees that are alive, and the fruits of faith are there. All, of course, only by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is only through repentance and faith and in bearing fruit in Christ, in His name, that we have salvation. For in Jesus is the only way. There is a remote portion of Labrador, Canada, and there's a town called Wabush. And it's so far out isolated from civilization that it used to be you could only get there by a boat or by a plane or a helicopter. And they finally cut a road through the wilderness It takes 6 hours to get to this little town on that one road. There's only one road to this town. One road in and one road out. It's the only way there. If you want to get there, you have to take that road. That's what it's like in our life in Christ. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one road to heaven, Christ Jesus, who has called us to repentance and faith and bearing good fruit. And that Jesus indeed is the way, the truth, and the life. So during Lent, true spiritual discipline is that you are concerned with your own spiritual state. We are not pointing our fingers at other people. In fact, this sermon will be a complete waste of time for me and for you if you don't apply this to your own life. How will I live a life of repentance and faith in Christ and a life of good works? How will I rejoice that I am saved by grace alone through faith in Christ, crucified and risen? How will the reality of being justified before God by the merits of Christ, that I am a healthy tree, how will that be evidenced in my life of sanctification as a tree bearing good fruit? After all, Paul says, the end of the ages has come upon us. We are in the last days. Don't give up, he says. Any temptation you experience is common to man. God is faithful. He will give a way of escape for you. He will give you the strength so that you can endure whatever temptation or disaster has come upon you. The knots in our lives get pretty confusing sometimes, and there's bits and pieces of our lives, and we just don't understand. How does this all make sense? I close with the illustration of a little girl one time who was in the kitchen with her mom, and her mom was about to bake the cake, but she hadn't started yet, and she wanted to eat the cake right now. I want this cake right now, Mom. The mom hadn't made it yet. She said, well, okay, here's some cooking oil. Here's some raw eggs. You want some raw eggs? Here's some flour. Here's some baking soda. You want the cake? Well, of course she doesn't want to eat those things. Well, wait now. Let's mix these things together. Let's be patient. Let's bake it in the oven. And now we've got a cake. We mix these things together, and then we have a cake. God works that way. There's things here and there that you don't understand. You can't put the pieces together. They're bad things. They're difficult things. But when God puts it all together in His master plan, it all is working out for our good. Rejoice today that God is faithful. Rejoice that today you can live a life of repentance and faith and bearing good works, the fruit of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.